Would you leave your job, your friends, take your family, and move to a place with little connection to the modern world? Oh, and an old world, foreign language? That's what Bill and Tricia Moser did. He was an architect, she an occupational therapist. They drove a BMW, an SUV, but there was a spiritual void, and so they became Amish. A story told in the new book, Becoming Amish, written by Bill Moser's childhood friend Jeff Smith. Jeff joins us from Interlochen Public Radio in Interlochen, Michigan. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. And Bill Moser joins us from his home in Salem, Missouri by Skype. And that's a little bit of a clue. After over a decade, Bill and his family left the Amish community for another spiritual community. We're going to get to that as we welcome Bill. Bill, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Robin. Hello.
And I got to tell you, what a compelling read. You know, the lifestyle, every single sentence I kept asking myself, could I do this? You know, we want to find out what compelled you to do that. But how would you define Amish so we know what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's a complicated question because there's so many different varieties of Amish. Mm-hmm. Each community is fairly unique. It's a very hard thing to define.
Right, and they are defining it constantly questioning, well, should we use electricity for this or how should we address this? So it's constantly, even within each community, changing. But overall, we know that there's a sense of not being of this world, but also, from what I'm reading, for you, a sense of community.
Yeah, that was one of the major reasons we made the change. In looking at Jesus's teaching in the New Testament, we felt that that was a lack in our general American culture, and we sought a more purposeful way to live that out.
Well, and let's flesh that out a bit. Jeff, you talk about how liberals and conservatives would both find something to like in the Amish way of life.
Yeah, that was one of the most interesting things to me is how they do defy kind of the categories that we like to use in general society. And, you know, you think of the Amish as very conservative in dress, in lifestyle and whatnot, but they refuse to fight in wars. Likewise, liberals would love the way that the communities work together and support one another and give freely of their labor and even of their money, but liberals would be repelled by, say, their stance against abortion or gay marriage. And I guess what I found interesting in all that is we live by kind of all these boundaries that are sometimes put on us and sometimes we don't always think about them, right? Looking at the Amish, they sort of broke all that apart and remixed all those pieces.
And we have a broader picture of, we know that the men wear plain white shirts and suspenders and long pants round hats, and the women wear caps, and most of the communities have horse and buggies instead of cars. And so, Bill, just back to you and Trish. I mean, Trish went to the hairdresser. You know, you had kids that played video games and had computers. Weren't you frightened? I mean, what was that like to make that transition?
Well, it wasn't frightening. It was actually pretty exciting. And probably one of the biggest reasons is that we were pursuing spiritual goals and we saw that they could be fulfilled in a community setting like that. And so giving up things wasn't such a sacrifice compared to what we were gaining.
Well, you've been an architect. And now you found yourself coming up with ways to make money for your family, including making pallets. And one of the most interesting things about the Amish community is that businesses are not competitive with each other. In fact, people would come over and show you how they do their businesses. People give money for people to start up. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of the sharing nature that we as Christians should be practicing. Helping one another, not in competition to one another, or even non-Christians. You mentioned the pallet business. Another pallet company that was owned by Amish individuals, they literally gave us the money to get started, gave us the equipment, gave us the orders, just handed it to us on a platter to help us get started.
And Jeff, you'd been childhood friends with Bill. You go for a visit. You hadn't seen him in years, as people do, drifted apart. You didn't know, and you walk up, and there's a horse and buggy and overalls, and he says to you, "Do you think we're crazy?" Did you?
Yeah. Well, I definitely thought, you know, Bill, we got some catching up to do, I think. I don't know. At first, I don't think I really knew what to think, but there was such a sense of peace around their home, and it was just such a beautiful moment, and you could simply feel it. I don't know what all led to me feeling that, but there was just this beautiful sense of peace and spirituality around their family and their home. And so, you know, I was very proud of them.
Well, and as Bill, you said, it's not you were never really on your own because it's such a community-based lifestyle. But still, you're bringing kids with you. And, you know, one of the I didn't realize this, but apparently Amish children only go to school through the eighth grade. I can see the members outside the family thinking, oh, no, they've joined this cult or something. Our grandkids are going to not finish high school. I mean, tell us more about that.
That was probably the biggest concern of our relatives. They were concerned about the seeming lack of education. But even though their formal training went to the eighth grade, they're all still learning. In the Amish schools, those eighth grades are very foundational. They give them the tools to learn. It's a never-ending process.
Well, there's a lot of apprenticeship going on, and I was stunned at some of the things that your young kids were doing, taking over businesses at 19 or something like that. I mean, they're doing quite well. But Bill, this also makes me think of a line that Jeff attributes to you that just jumped out of it took my breath away. You said something like, when did we as Americans start thinking we should never be with our kids during the day?
Yeah, that was another motivational factor for us. I wanted to be more interactive with the family. I wanted my children beside me. I have four boys. I wanted to work with them, and that became a higher priority than pursuing a profession.
Well, and you have a daughter as well who spent a lot of her time with her mom and the women. There's a lot of work to do. And Jeff, that was a little tough to read because it was such a gender different experience. You know, the boys were out tagging along with their dad doing carpentry or training horses, and the girls were canning. But you describe complete joy.
The women in Bill's family are very strong. They're very strong women. They're very spirited. And back to your question, what did I expect? And I was thinking, well, when they move from general society to this, will they feel kind of shy and shut out of the general world? And will they be withdrawn or whatever? And what I found was completely the opposite. And that was actually one of the main things that struck me really early on is how open their children were, all of them, including Sarah, and how spirited and strong and wanting to learn. And yes, there is that kind of division of labor that doesn't really fit with modern society, but it seems to work within that culture.
Bill, just, again, it's so hard to conceive of in today's world. Did you ever yearn to, download a song, or did your kids ever think, I really want to go to a movie?
Yeah, there was, but we had already before we joined the Amish and we had homeschooled. We had gotten rid of our television years before we joined the Amish. So we are already used to different forms of entertainment. And because of our unique situation, we still had family and general society. So I'm not saying that we were 100% free of ever watching a movie or listening to a radio because of our contact with our family. But the desire, the yearning, even now our children are in their early 20s, late teens, and there's just not that strong drive.
Well, it's interesting because it seems as if I'm reading this correctly, the thing that actually, when you decided to leave, it wasn't because of yearning for those things we've talked about. It was because of yearning again for more closeness and community. And because the community you were in spoke an old world German, you had to have an interpreter sitting the pew behind you interpreting every service in your ear, and that was just too distant from God for you to?
That's right, Robin. Some of the very things that attracted us to the Amish kind of got, I would just call it, a little too rich. I believe the Bible would tell us that our spiritual life should be in balance. So amongst the Amish, they're very separate and to the point where it got a little too separate for us. My children started having a longing to do, maybe a mission project, go to Central America, serve there, things like that, that the Amish would stay away from. So it was those things that motivated our change more than material things.
Well, now you live in an Amish Mennonite community, this particular community. They use cars. We're hearing you talk by Skype. They use technology. And Jeff, did you, as you decided to write about your friends, did you go through some sort of Homeric journey as well? I mean, did you change as a person?
Well, I was most struck by how intentional Bill and Tricia were about their lives, and not just the faith aspect of their life, but their family, their community, their business, their technology. And that was probably the biggest thing for me, is just kind of forcing me to look at my own life and look at those different pieces of my life and say, well, I don't intend to be Amish, but what am I learning from them that can kind of help me sort of assess each of those really big, important things in my own life? I feel like now in America, sort of the idea is if the individual is good, then the community will be good. And what Bill and Tricia's story kind of has taught me is if the community is good, the individual will be good. And that is something that I really carry with me in a much bigger way.
Jeff, Bill, thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
That's Jeff Smith, author of Becoming Amish. It tells the story of Bill and Tricia Moshers and their decision to do just that. It's Here and Now.